slide up there for just a minute. I have a question on that. Under item two there, the restoration of the kingdom, you said that's figuratively, but you didn't say what that figuratively refers to. Does that refer to the fact that, going back to that point one under four, it refers to the Christ coming towards the end of it, the 35th through the 38th there? Do you think it's just talking in terms of what the Israelites would understand, that there's something glorious going to happen, and putting it in that term, in reality, is referring to the church of the new kingdom?
Yes, that's what I believe. I believe it refers to the coming Christ, Christian dispensation, and so forth. I think it has to have a spiritual application because literally it doesn't fit the picture at all.
Johnny, I appreciate that very much. And I think that was a very, very responsible, sane explanation of the book of Ezekiel, because in our day, a lot of people use Ezekiel like a religious science fiction and just go crazy on some of these things over there. And as you pointed out, the vast majority of the book really deals with the Jews during the Babylonian captivity and it promises to them. I have a couple of comments and then a question. First of all, I read something the other day that I thought was a very good point, that the destruction of Jerusalem marks the turning point in Ezekiel's prophetic ministry. Before that time, his words are words of destruction. All the way up to the destruction of Jerusalem, his words are very harsh. But after the destruction of Jerusalem, he becomes a prophet of hope, an encouraging type of prophet. This is what our future has. This is our hope. And I thought that was a good explanation. I agree with you that we have to understand these things in view of their original context, that obviously these were written to Jews in Babylonian exile. And even when we look at the prophetic things, we still must remember that this was written to Jews. I think what we have described in the latter part of the book is the prophet describing New Testament concepts with Old Testament words, because that was the only way that he could explain these things to these folks about the future. He couldn't describe literally the church and the priesthood of the church and the worship of the church. It would not make sense to them. And so a lot of times in these Old Testament prophets, they describe, by using Old Testament language, New Testament concepts. You'll even find them talking in some prophecies about the Sabbath or new moon or things like that during the Messianic Age, and it is not a reference to the literal law of Moses. It's just accommodating themselves with language. Now, my question, and this may be a very simple answer, I don't know. In Ezekiel 21, which you mentioned, 26 and 27, there is the idea that the crown will be taken from Zedekiah and it will not be given again till the Messiah comes. And yet, throughout the book of Ezekiel, he dates his events by that of Jehoiakim, even though they're in captivity. And as a result, I've read some writers that maintain that the line of David ended at Jehoiakim rather than Zedekiah, because Zedekiah was appointed to the throne by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what would you say about that?
You might have a point there. I hadn't thought about that aspect of it, but that is true. He was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. But of course, he was a literal descendant of Josiah. So.
Well, on that point, one of the kings before that, and I don't remember just offhand which one it was, there's a couple of kings before him, was appointed king by Pharaoh. And yet he was considered to be a son of David and descended on the throne.
That's a good point. There's something to say about that. Richard.
I really enjoyed your presentation. You know, over in chapter 37, the two sticks that are mentioned there, I believe that the Mormons, you know, take that as the Joseph there is Joseph Smith, and that's a false doctrine. But did I understand you to say that one stick was represented the Gentiles? I've understood that it was one stick was Judah and one stick was the 10 tribes, and they were being reunited as a united kingdom.
Well, it does say the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and even with the stick of Judah, make them one stick. That was my understanding, but obviously, maybe I could be wrong about that.
Well, and I don't know. I'm not trying to. Ephraim, I wondered if you'd. When I had studied that before, when I was talking with the Mormons' wife, I pointed out that it wasn't dealing with the Gentiles.